WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It'll be a Hollywood Positive next week as we head out. And by the way, Don Mueller's going to join me here. This is the recon. Last week we did death penalty. This week we'll do, I guess, how the NFL is not hiring black coaches. But I'm going to be in L.A. all next week. And I got to tell you, man, I had a real problem. And you've been married a long time. You have a beautiful wife. You know how this goes. The Super Bowl has now moved back to Valentine's Day weekend, right? So my flight home was on Monday night, like at midnight. And I said to Jen, I'll get an Uber, new play. Yeah, you know, whatever. And then I realized it's February 14th. How do I walk in the door at midnight on February 14th back to LA? So Wise Markets is doing this incredible strawberry thing. So my wife's going over. She's going to get some strawberries and some chocolate, probably some flowers without me on Friday and Saturday next weekend. I get back on Monday. I moved my flight to early in the morning out of Orange County to get back
home. Good man.
So here's the deal. She's picking up the airport. And she says, hey, let's go over to the Beaumont or over to El Guapo for Valentine's Day. And then I find out that State Fair, and I'm wearing my State Fair shirt, they're going to have their Portales menu, which I've never participated in.
I was going to tell you, Portales menu.
How many did you eat at Portales? Because I never did. I only know the legend of Portales, right?
I loved Portales.
Well, they bring their special romantic Valentine's night menu back. So here's the deal. I got to call Evan and let him know that we're having, Evan doesn't know it yet, we're having Valentine's night dinner at State Fair because we want to have the Portales experience. I won't have seen my wife in 9 days. I'm back from LA. And even though you think I'll have a tan because it's 82 degrees there every day, I'm going to be in a convention center probably talking about, quite frankly, what you and I are going to talk about, which is race in the NFL, ownership, white, black, it never ends. And blackballing, because that's about to happen too. It's called blackballing. It's not called whiteballing. It's called blackballing. And all of that is welcome to LA, Matthew Stafford and Joey Burrow. Let's go play a football game, right?
Well, a couple of things there as we get ready to roll with the recon. Number one, you better call Evan today, because when they advertise the Portales menu is coming back, particularly for Valentine's Day, that place will fill up and people will be lined up hoping.
I'm texting him right now. I need Valentine. Yeah. Literally, I've got my phone. I need Valentine's Day. So I'll let him know. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
There you go.
Terrible, but I make a lot of things. I don't make reservations. I just don't. I'm not good at that.
So there you go. Jen will be happy. You will be happy, and you will not be disappointed. Nestor, there's so much. We're only again going to scratch the surface as we come on the air today. It never ever fails. It is. I could almost say, if you want to be sure there will be some breaking news, look at when the recon will record. There will be breaking news because I'm getting ready to walk in and hook up the computer. And sure enough, there's President Biden and Vice President Harris watching an operation in Syria. And again, the outstanding men and women.
Is it still a big deal when we kill people over there?
Well, I think it's
It is, but it isn't, and it is, but it isn't. We have terrorism here.
I think we can walk. My mantra, we can walk and chew gum.
Dude, I'm not going nationalistic with you. I'm just saying, to me, we have real. Yeah. It's nice that we do that and grow and let's
well, grow. I think it's more than nice. I mean, I think it would be a huge mistake on our part to ignore the ISIS threat that still exists around the world. We have to be vigilant. Again, I think that the men and women of our armed forces are just excel at what they do. And by all reports, they took out ISIS leader Abu Ibrahimi Hashani this morning, that there were no American deaths. We had to blow up a helicopter, evidently, very much like we did in the bin Laden raid. But again, unfortunately, evidently, if you believe early reports, and again, it's sort of always like the fog of war reports, they will change. But evidently, this terrorist leader blew himself up and his family up. I mean, there are no words to describe that kind of extremism. So I think that's a big story. I think the American people are comforted to know that we don't let our guard down. And, you know, that happens as we come on the air. As you mentioned, all this week, the past few days, you will be my goodness, will you be talking about it next week at the Super Bowl? This Brian Flores lawsuit, maybe to be joined by Hugh Jackson, when it came out, I contacted our friend John Feinstein, and I said, my goodness, how important is your book now? And for those of you listening, if you did not hear last week's Baltimore Positives, go out into the vault, go on wherever you get your podcast, go to BaltimorePositive.com, pull up John Feinstein, Raise a Fist, Take a Knee, where he talks about the racism in the NFL, really throughout sports.
Well, Marvin Lewis was on my timeline immediately in the morning, right? And you know, Marvin and I are close. Sure. So this is not, I knew all about this sham. And I remember Marvin and I were very, very close at that time in our lives. He lived here. We were on the phone every day when all of that was going on. And I mean, he even said to me, I'm going down there, but they're hiring John Fox. And I couldn't believe that he didn't get hired. Remember, he came back and coached here. Tampa screwed him, right? Really. The Gruden thing. We're going back 21 years now. We're doing ancient history for a guy who had a job for a decade and a half in the league. But every fourth year, you know, he made far less money than all the other coaches because that was a Mike Brown thing to pay people less. That's how Marvin kept his job, by taking less money, like sort of kind of, right? And where we are now, where Mike Tomlin and I have had these conversations as well, especially in regard to how racist people in Pittsburgh call for his firing every year. I remember one year drinking with him on the lawn. He won 14 games that year and they wanted to fire him.
Sure. No. It's I had someone ask me yesterday, and it was a great question, and it is the question that is central to John Feinstein's book, of course, is how does this racism rear its head? And the question that was put to me was, do you really think there's a decision about race involved? And I said, it's a great question because I think it is much more subtle. And it is what John writes so much about in his book, that these 32 owners are a group of very wealthy, entitled white men who hang around with other wealthy, entitled white men. And their comfort level with African Americans is just at a very different place.
They don't come into the city much.
They do not. They live in gated communities, and they don't. They would tell you that they're not. And I believe, Nestor, this is the thing that makes race so complicated in the United States. I believe they are sincere when they say things like, we think we made the best choice for the organization. I believe with every fiber of their being, they find that to be true. I think that what they're blind to is how much systemic racism and a history of race in the United States comes into play. And
they own a franchise, Don, where 75 to 90% of their players in any given year, right, over the course of the balance of however long Amy Adams has owned a franchise with her father, or however long Dan Snyder's now 20 years into this, or Jerry, you know, has been into this for 30 years now and played football and coached football and all of that, that the color isn't a new thing. You know what I'm saying? I collected football cards in the 70s. It was the place I saw black people. Maybe Hank Aaron, sure, on TV, right? But I lived in an Archie Bunker community, which you're very well aware of, and you know where you picked me up along the side of the road back in the summer of 82. And how far along you come when you are an integrated human being, and when you have friendships with Mike Tomlin and Marvin Lewis and people over the course of long periods of time, that a lot of people have cut themselves. I had a friend recently that, and I'm not going to name names, but I had a falling out in a relationship, right, with a human. And when I went onto this human's Facebook page and I just looked that every human this person had collected. And it was a normal person has collected 1,000, 2,000 people, right? If you're an adult in America and you've maybe gone to college, gone away, collected some friends, traveled a little bit, had a job or two or three, worked in different places, you collect people. And if you're on Facebook, and that's not a, it's a barometer, but it's not a measurement, right? I would say, right? It's not a true measurement. But if you go onto your Facebook page and you have 1,800 friends and three of them might be black and one of them might be Hispanic, you're probably not as integrated and as woke as you think you are. And it probably really lends itself to your Fox News watching and your habits and your friendships and the bar you hang out with and the place you went to school and who your parents are and where you work and who you work with and locker room talk. Right? So there's all of that, but there really is an issue where we all think we're as integrated as everybody else. And to your point, when you see Jerry Jones there, you really have no idea till you've been to his home in Dallas how state of the union these cats are and how many valets they have and handlers they have and how many gates that are set up. And some would say that about politicians, Don, right? To some degree, how many levels it takes to get an audience with Mr. Big, Miss Big, whatever it is, that you live your life differently. And these guys, Don, I've watched it for 20 years going to these owners meetings. They come in, their private jets, the people they're with, like all of that. And then when it comes down to them to pay $10 million a year to a coach, they want that coach to be white because they're
No, it's a comfort level. You know, Nestor, you mentioned levels of whether or not as a society we are as integrated as we think we are. I play a little game every now and then. And the answer is not great. And you go out, you and Jen start playing this game. And I think you're going to be surprised because you go out to dinner a lot. When you're sitting down at your restaurant of choice, just begin to look around and see how many tables are truly integrated. And I think the answer will shock you. It's not many. In other words, it doesn't mean
of the restaurants you've been in. If you recollect,
I think it speaks to friendships too. I think it speaks to that even though we believe we're integrated and open-minded and have come a long, long way, we still in our social settings tend to be pretty isolated. And when you look in restaurants, you'll see a table of five or six, and it might be African Americans or Hispanics at one table, and then a group of white. You don't see, I want you to report back. My experience has been you don't see nearly as many integrated tables as we think we should.
When I see them, I notice them.
Right. So that says it right there.
that just proves your point. That now I'm all here. We're doing the recon. I'm going to be in LA all next week, right? It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. I got dear friend. We're putting by the way, Crab Cake Tour is back on March 4th. We're kicking it off at Mama's on the Half Shell down in Canton. So that's the kickoff. Between now and then, I'm going to put a whole schedule together for March, April, and hopefully doing some really special things in May. So I'm going to be doing football next week, and I'm sure it's going to be a lot of race and Matthew Stafford and Joe Burrow and like all of that. But the recon, last week we did death penalty and we never got to like Meatloaf or Louis Anderson. Anderson gave me like love and wanted me to become a comedian. So on any given week, we can recon about anything, but I know you had some heavy issues here this week you wanted to get back to.
Well, I did. And before we jump from football, because you're going to be doing a lot of football, Nestor, I think it's all explosive. But I cannot wait for you to explore this next week. The explosive part are the allegations by Brian Flores and Hugh Jackson that the ownership group was willing to pay them to lose games, because that gets to the competitive product on the field. And if during this lawsuit or investigation, I don't know what Brian Flores means when he says he has receipts. I don't know what that means. But if there is some
receipts
kind
means
of
emails. Proof. I mean, that's
or is it a, is
receipts
it
means evidence?
Is it a deposit of 100,000 every Monday after I lost again. I don't know what receipts, you know, does $100,000 show up in my bank account every Monday or Tuesday if we lost again? I mean, that would be, that would make the Dan Snyder charade, right?
Which was a charade. Shoeless Joe Jackson. And I told you, they've always been dancing on the edge of chaos once they got involved. And I know you're like anti-gambling from a I think you're just anti-gambling because it's who you are. And I'm not as anti-gambling. I still see it as more dirty than clean. And I promote the lottery. But the lottery is a pool of money brought together, and there's no referee in it. Although John Martin comes on every once in a while, he doesn't decide who wins and who loses.
Correct. I think
people out there in zebra shirts that decide what is and isn't pass interference, and a whole litany of people that may or may not be performing at full level. I mean,
Master, this gambling thing, again, I don't want to spend the whole recon on this because we've talked about it before, but you are right. I think this gambling thing in professional sports is Thelma and Louise heading to the cliff, because how this doesn't end up at some point in a major scandal.
No doubt.
It may not be
whether
in my
quarterback,
lifetime.
A referee, a linebacker, and there's so much money in it. And
too
the
much.
NFL, dude, the NFL is Teflon. I mean, I remember Howard Cosell saying that back in 1984. They're like Teflon. They get bigger, they get mightier, they treat everyone worse. I will have the worst radio row next week. They're trying to take my seat away. Boom, boom, down the line with media. I mean, Harbaugh did his dance this week. I'm going to DaCosta's dance, and Luke and I will have the back of that. The owner's not speaking here. The owner's not speaking anywhere. That's become a league-wide thing. I mean, the Dallas media was up in arms. Ed Werder was up in arms last week about Jerry Jones not speaking to the fan base anymore. The owners have all gotten together.
Yeah,
and decided,
I don't know. I have a different take on that.
Facing. The owner should be front facing. And if you don't think that, then you have lowered your bar to that you've just lowered your bar. You just said the owner doesn't need to be accountable. Right. That's unacceptable.
I'm glad you went there.
It's unacceptable.
I'm glad you went there.
Unacceptable.
Because now I let you rant. Now let me talk. I'm glad you went there. I thought, and I'll talk about why I don't need to hear from Steve. I do need to hear from John. I do need to hear from Eric. And I wanted to hear from the new defensive coach. I thought, and I texted you after, I thought there were so many lessons from John Harbaugh's recent press conference that both the principals should take note of and communication experts should take note of. Number one, I thought it was one of the most honest and informational hours, or however long it took, that I've seen of an individual in front of the media. I also, and I can be critical of the media and the types of questions that they ask. Often I'll be saying, ask this. And the other day, they pretty much asked every question that I would have asked. Here was my big takeaway from that. And whoever at the castle made this decision, I tell them, put a check. It was absolutely correct.
John makes all decisions in the castle.
You would not.
Okay,
then I give John a check on that. So John could not have had that press conference 5 or 6 days or a week after the season ended. The disappointment of the season, the hurt of the season, was too front and center. And the press conference would not have been nearly.
Get paid $10 million a year. Get your emotions together and
productive.
Be professional.
Well, that's nice. You're a human.
But you have a week after the season across the board, and it's fine.
John
likes rules
fine.
When he makes them.
It was forget your animus and your feeling about that.
It's not an animus.
It was much
simply about decorum, protocol,
and
30 years of doing this.
Here are the facts. It was a much better session 3 weeks out. And I had some folks who, and here's what he did. And here's the note to the communication professionals. I had some folks in the know who said to me, and they, you know, really experts in communication, say, you know, what he did, he really kept his audiences in mind. Who are you speaking to? You're not really speaking to the people in the room. You're speaking to the fans, to the PSL owners. You're certainly speaking to the owner and the owner's friends. And John did that, and he did it. He took responsibility. He did things because he had some time to look in the rearview mirror. So the lesson for all PR types is sometimes let a little dust settle, and then you're going to be much, much more productive. Now, in terms of Steve, what do I want? What on earth could Nestor or anyone else ask Steve that Steve would offer up? See, I you talk about window dressing. To me, having Steve talk.
What's the long-term plan for the team? What's the lease situation? Are you trying to sell the team?
You think he's going to talk about the lease? He's going to say, of course not. I'd say, you're asking questions. I could answer them. I could play Steve. You want to play that? You want to play? I'll play Steve.
You're playing what you play every week, which is the PR director. That's the way you think. You're there to protect Steve because Steve would be paying you to do the job to protect him. Steve should be front-facing as he was the first dozen years of his ownership, and he should be front-facing for an hour fly in from the Bahamas, get his passport checked off, and answer questions for an hour.
He's got
a $3 billion entity right
now. Exactly. And like, because he is one of the best
owners, the rules.
He allows his people to make decisions. Therefore, he's not going to have an opinion. He's not going to stand up there and opine on offensive strategy.
Don, he's done that many, many times. He did it every year.
And you don't really gain anything. You gain something when Eric speaks. You know, you'll hear from Eric. What do you think? You know, do you agree? What do you think the strengths of the team?
I think Eric's press conferences have been just horrific since the beginning of his he's changing the way he speaks as a general manager. I don't get as much out of Eric. So it'll be interesting. And again, we're taping this before. Luke and I will discuss this next week. I don't get as much out of Eric. And again, we got nothing out of Ozzy really much at all. Ozzy hated it. Ozzy never did.
Ozzy did it
once a year.
You're not supposed to tip your hand as a general manager so that the other 31 teams can see. You are going to choose your words carefully. It doesn't make you a bad person. If you didn't do that, it would be malpractice, right? I'm going to stand up there and tip my hand so that the other 31 teams know exactly what we're going to do.
That's what Harbaugh would say after the game on Sunday, week to week, and lying about Lamar's injury.
He didn't lie about Lamar's injury. The injury turned out to be worse. You sound like people who talk about Dr. Fauci and the science changing. The injury ended up. Listen,
please. I mean, come on, man.
I'm not sure you listened to John the other day. He was very honest when he said.
Watch John talk about all the changes they were making, and he has the same strength and conditioning coach, and say we're going to look under every rock.
And that to me is just. It's not true.
No, it's what he has to say.
I didn't ask you that. You said
now whether there are big changes with McDonald. I found the McDonald press conference to be much, much more interesting. By the way, if you want to talk about press conferences,
it was clear that John was not happy that very often the rehab time that he was presented with ended up not being accurate. He couldn't have been clearer about that. Now, he doesn't have all of the answers, but
doctor's fault that Ronnie Stanley didn't get right.
What he said was he's not sure whose fault it was. And if you go back, if you pulled up a recon from 8 weeks ago, I said to you, knowing what we know about the way Steve Bisciotti operates, the fact that he was an HR guy, that's how he made his billions, it was inevitable bet.
The Mike McDonald thing on their defense, their biggest offseason issue other than Lamar's contract and the fact that they're on a six-game losing streak, right? That other than that, the defensive situation and them hiring this young guy who came in off the street as an intern, groomed through the organization, that is so Bisciotti to me that it really makes me believe Mike McDonald might be the next coach of the Ravens. You know what I mean? That he knows the building, he knows the cafeteria, he knows the people in there. Everybody must really like him. I mean, Harbaugh was beaming. Yeah.
Well,
like,
what did
you know over this kid?
And so were my grandsons, and I'm going to tell you what I told them. Now this is weird because I'm going to flip the coin and be the one that says, "Let's wait and see." Yes, he appears to check all of the boxes. I wanted to go young and aggressive. Certainly what he did at Michigan makes you stand up and take notice. But as John Feinstein told us last week, one of his favorite quotes is Gary Williams, "The scoreboard never lies." So we will know whether or not Mike McDonald was the right hire sometime in December of next year. Do we get to the quarterback more? Are we playing more like Ravens? Listen, my concern, and again, anybody that's listened to us, I think we were consistent week in and week out. What I was concerned about, Nestor, was it seemed to me that we no longer had any swagger. We just didn't have – I watched these playoffs. Now, again, these games have been legendary, I guess, as Neil Patrick Harris would say on How I Met Your Mother, you know, legendary games. But the – when I watch these teams fly to the ball and light people up and make quarterbacks' life hell for the entire game, I was sitting there and I'm going, "Whoa, oh my goodness, do we have a long, long way to go?" So I think it's going to be fun. You're going to have a lot to talk about. You know, the other sport, as we walked in here today, the other sport in town that won't be playing for a while. I saw the Orioles were just ranked fourth best farm system out of all the major league teams. And that's amazing when you consider that when Elias came here in 2019, they were 22nd. So that's encouraging. And here's a little stat. You're the stat guy. Didn't realize this. Why that matters? 16 of the last 17 teams that were ranked number one in farm systems made the playoffs within 2 years. I was shocked at that because I'm always of the opinion that prospects don't always translate to big league
success.
Well,
the Bengals would be a great example of that.
16 or 17.
The Bengals haven't spent the most money. The Bengals were the worst team. They got the quarterback. And in year two, they're in the Super Bowl for real. Not soft, not backing in, not because the other quarterback got injured or got COVID or whatever. It's because they went out one football game. So being young, I mean, the Astros, although they were cheating, won on the early end. You know, the Eagles won on the early end, then never won again. I mean, there's this road of like you – and Luke talks about this a lot about 2 years ago, where the Ravens were when Yanda was at the end and Lamar was at the beginning, that their window, the Ravens window to win a Super Bowl in the Lamar era, their best window was 2 years ago. Now, whether that happens again or not, but when you're 14-2 and you're running offense that no one can stop, that Titans game will be, much like we remember that Colts game back in 06. If Lamar never climbs that hill again and they're not a one seed and they don't make a Super Bowl, that would have been their best shot in his second year. So there is a part of that catching that early wave, to your point.
And it's
I mean, the Royals, when the Royals beat the Orioles, that was like they caught it. Moustakas and those guys at the end, those guys were hitting 150, all of a sudden hit 300 and boom, and they turned it on and then it's over with. You know, it happens quickly. These eras of greatness.
Well, hopefully, and again, I think we're a long, long way from labor peace in Major League Baseball. The other little aside, so hopefully we'll play some ball. And I do want to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court because I'm going to give political advice to the president, which sounds rather silly coming from Don Mohr giving the president political advice, but I do have some. But before we do that, I also was encouraged, Nestor, I see the stadium authorities going back. And we'll follow up with some folks on this. Maybe we get John Moog on to talk about going back to get, I think it was $1 billion authorization from the General Assembly to make improvements to both stadiums. That's a sign to me that those negotiations are moving along.
Well, you got to keep these teams, dude. Yeah, I mean, it was one thing to go steal the teams, you know, or get the team back in the 50s when it comes to the Orioles. Then it's another thing how to keep them. I mean, we've already lost one NFL team in our lifetime. We've already lost an NBA team in our lifetime. We almost lost the Orioles. I mean, really, had Edward Bennett Williams not been more as magnanimous as he was, had he really wanted to move the team to Washington?
Yeah, that was the time.
That would have happened. Now that can't happen. It can only move to Nashville or Montreal. But you still have to build left field. You still have to sell tickets. You still have to get people downtown. You still have to park in places. You still have to create a reason to come downtown. And it's like you're talking about number four and all that, and I let you go on about it, but they're going to lose 100 games if they play this year. So,
I don't think so. That's funny. I don't think so. Last year I was all in. And again, I'm not Pollyanna on that.
Who are their five pitchers this year?
I'm not. Oh, I understand.
They don't need five pitchers. You need 12 pitchers now.
I'm not a Pollyanna on looking at wins and losses. I was convinced the past few years they'd lose 100. I don't think they're going to be 80, 81, and 81. I'm not sure they'll play 162 games. But I think they will be better. Part of the reason is I think some of those kids – I'll be shocked, Nestor, if Rushman's not playing – if he's back in Norfolk or Bowie, I think that would be a shock. I'll be shocked if Rodriguez isn't pitching up here, perhaps DL Hall. So we'll see, but they've got to play. Hey, real quick.
That's the thing they're fighting about. When they come out of this fight, it's going to be about starting clocks or not starting clocks. And
totally
at the end, the players aren't going to come back and play under the current system because they're screwing guys like Rutschman. So the idea should be, if they ever come back, there should be no barrier to having major league players play major league baseball
and not talking about
how much money they're going to make 5 years from now.
Nope, I told you, I like take away the clock, make everybody eligible at 30. That would get players up here. I think it would be good for the game because I think, and again, much too long now.
All right, give Joe Biden some advice on
we're running a long time here. He's going to make a really significant Supreme Court appointment, right? The silliness of someone on the right who have lost their minds, you know, Senator Wicker and others, to suggest this is affirmative action. It's an insult. Goes back to our earlier topic about how deep racism still exists in this country. I mean, my goodness gracious, you know, Ronald Reagan announced he was going to appoint a woman. He appointed Sandra Day O'Connor. It was all the way back until 1967. And when LBJ appointed Thurgood Marshall, we had no minorities on the court. So it was clearly a bastion of white men at that point. And the whole politicization of this is ridiculous. Trump announced he would put a woman. You get Amy Coney Barrett. You take one of the most conservative justices, the lion of all current day conservative justice, Justice Antonin Scalia, who was appointed in 1986. People would be shocked if they go back and look at the history books. He was approved unanimously. So this whole right and left bastion, it's just silly. But having said that, you got James Clyburn, who was key to helping Joe Biden win the presidency when he stepped in and won South Carolina for him in the primaries back in 2020. You've got the two South Carolina senators, Tim Scott and Lindsey Graham, both singing the praises of South Carolina District Court Judge Michelle Childs. And as I said, there are probably 10 or 15 outstanding African-American women. But as I said to my wife the other day, stop the presses. Lindsey Graham, on every list, Michelle Childs is in the top three. So you've got Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott singing her praises. There are times when you say, while there are other qualified candidates, let's take a win, a bipartisan win, and get out of Dodge. So keep an eye on it. If I'm in that room with President Biden, I'm saying, Joe, she's on the short list. She's eminently qualified. You'll make Jim Clyburn happy. And you've got two Republican senators right out of the gate saying she's terrific. Let's take the win. Let's get 54 or 55 votes and move on. So that's my advice. One last political rant. You do most of the ranting. Don't know if you saw it or our listeners saw it. the senator from the Midwest, Josh Hawley, this morning said that we should just stop making any fuss over the Ukraine. We should stop trying to support Ukraine's entry to NATO and just, you know, just stop leaning on Russia the way we are. And as Adam Kinzinger came out and said in very Nestor way, Josh Hawley may be one of the most reprehensible human beings on the face of the earth. But now the Tucker Carlson,
well, he's a traitor
Josh
on
Hawley,
the face of it. So, yeah.
Josh Hawley, Tucker Carlson wing of the Republican Party are now aligning themselves with a former member of the KGB in Vladimir Putin. They are indeed the KGB party. And with that rant, have a great time in L.A.
All right, it'll be 82 outside. It'll be probably chillier than that inside. I'm still packing my long johns because the winter has been wintry around here.
We're going to get back for Valentine's
Day. Yeah, we'll be at State Fair on Valentine's Day. Evan just said he could take care of the table during the segment, so we're good with that.
There you go.
And with that appreciation to our friends at Wise Markets, the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Coons Ford, everybody, Liberty Pure Solutions for sending us westward. We're going to be talking about all of our great sponsors. We're going to be putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back into action on March 4th at Nacho Mama's and Mama's on the Half Shell down in Canton. I'll be telling you more about that. And guest, and more guests. A Hall of Fame week next week at the Los Angeles Convention Center for Super Bowl 56. That's LVI if you're Roman. I am Nestor. He is former Baltimore County Executive Don Mueller. That was The Recon, and we are BaltimorePositive.com.